1-900-WRESTLING is brought to you, as always, by all the support at 1-900-WRESTLING Patreon. Patreon.com/1900WRESTLING. You can join this, support the show, join our Discord, talk with people. I mean, we got people that are going to be live in the Discord from Raw tonight. You will get a ringside account of what's happening if you join our Discord. Do it right now. Patreon.com/1900WRESTLING. But enough talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one and only wrestling podcast that exists on planet Earth. It is 1-900-WRESTLING. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is my tag team partner. Got a chance to cut it up a little bit in downtown Austin this weekend when I was down there for South by Southwest. Willie Dales Gregory, welcome back to the show.
What's up, man? It's good to talk to you again after seeing you live and in person on, Friday? Saturday?
Friday.
I can't remember what exact day. Friday night?
Friday yeah. night, man.
Turned into a longer night than I expected, to be honest. I mean, we didn't start until, because I tuned in. You guys were doing a great episode of Hearth and Oates.
Hearth and Oates. The world's
the only show with featuring relationship advice.
Yeah.
And
Hearthstone.
Amazing Hearthstone play.
Amazing just Hearthstone
the
play.
The best. Yeah.
Yeah. We got the best
driving
Hearthstone,
me nuts.
Don't we, folks?
Brian's refusal to play a 410. I was like, dude, just put the 410 on the board. So I tuned into that, saw you guys, and I was like, oh yeah, Justin's in town. Then met up around, 9 o'clock downtown. Yeah. Bunch of Diamond Club people met up and ended up at 2 a.m. being like, okay, we got to find a damn ride Austin home now.
I know. Yeah, no, got chased out of the bar, last call. I'll tell you what, this is how you know that Willie Dills is the hardest working man in streaming today. I get home. I am laying down to go to sleep when all of a sudden, beep, my little Twitch app goes off, letting me know that Dills is back at it streaming. The competitive tavern. What is it called?
I streamed a couple tavern brawls of like meme decks, and then ended up going to bed at like 4:30, and I was up at the whip crack of 11 to head up to Cedar Park. Ugh. So yeah, it was a bad idea, but yeah. I had fun. I had fun when I got home. It was one of those things where you get home and you're like, I'm too wound up to go to bed.
I swear to God, one of these times, whenever you, because periodically I'll just see late, especially your time zone, it'll be late for me. I'll be going to sleep 10 Pacific time, but it'll be like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning for you. I just want like my Twitch app to just have the Braun Strowman theme like play, like just like when you're doing one of those super late night ones, like just to demonstrate that you are a beast of an entertainer. You deserve it.
You know, it's funny. It's one of those things. I've cut out the late night streams quite a bit. I used to do a lot more of them.
Yeah.
More often than not now.
Those late
night exactly.
Streams.
It is dangerous. You will see now, you will see my streams often end closer to the midnight hour than the 4 a.m. hour. But I had so much fun. I got home and then I was just like, I had to take the dog out when I got back too. So I went out in like the cold night air. And then when I got back in the house, I was like, I'm not sleepy at all, you know? So it was super fun night, though, hanging out with you guys. Met some of the people I hadn't met before. Got to hang out with Curtis LaRock.
Yep.
One of my favorites. Also a billionaire as well as a diamond clubber. So it was good times, man.
Hey, listen, LaRock says know your damn role and shut your damn mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, we got all sorts of stuff to talk about in the world of wrestling. In fact, I'll tell you what. this is definitely the season if you have the ability to go to a house show. Now's the time to do it. Insane cards here for these house shows that are happening. Let's start with the one that happened in Buffalo, ended with this main event, right? And this is one of those, you know, pinch yourself, it's 2017 in the WWE kind of moments. Here's your main event. I think for the first time ever, you had the official pairing of Triple H, Samoa Joe, and Kevin Owens, seemingly yet another hint, both on screen and off, that they are going to be a faction possibly post-WrestleMania.
Yeah, brand new heel stable, which I'm really excited about. These guys are all like monsters in their own right at this point, or can play effective monsters, right? So, and of course, Triple H being the cerebral assassin behind these two powerhouses.
I mean, it's new evolution. Right.
Yeah.
You know, with H as the Ric Flair.
H is the veteran now.
Yeah. So now you know you'll maybe get one or two matches a year out of Triple H, but he'll be on camera a lot more than he has been over the past 2 years. Which I think it's time. I miss Triple H. I think we all got burnt out by like the 20-minute authority promos
during the Daniel Bryan era. Yeah. Absolutely. It was every single Raw started with Stephanie and Triple H in the ring.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I will say this, when they would cut it in with J&J security, and then you'd get, Occupy Raw and all those kinds of things. We had some amazing moments during all of that.
When it was good, it was good. When it was bad, it was, you know, well, let me tell you, you got, do you have to understand, I'm the game. But now, across the ring from them on this fine Buffalo night, indeed, an all-America city was treated to the good guys coming to the ring, the natural opposition of Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn, who had matched up with Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe previously. But your surprise third man, who's the third man? Why, it was a returning to action Finn Balor's abs, and also the rest of Finn Balor.
And also the rest of him showed
accompanied
up as well,
to the ring by the rest of Finn Balor, the star of the show. Like, he is in insane shape. Have you seen these pictures of him?
He's what, like 36 or something like that? I mean, he's not
a spring chicken.
Yeah, but he's got the secret juice of I don't know what, like, he's got the, it's the gene, it's in the genes, and it's in the routines.
Genes and routines.
Yep. And then he's sticking it, he's coup de gras-ing the Steens, apparently. But yeah, it's good to hear that he's back. I did watch some like phone footage of some of this match, and he looked good.
Yeah,
he didn't
do
like that much in the match, but yeah, it's 3-on-3, right? So you didn't need him.
So
to
he
do
didn't
much,
have to.
But,
yeah. So here's the question: Where do you put Balor on this WrestleMania card?
Well, we know that like Owens, H, Triple H, and Joe, it's not going to be. They all have their own matches, right? So I don't know they're probably not feeding him into this as a real thing. This is just. That was a
him,
cool
him
moment.
Working
a good
himself,
way to
yeah.
have him come out of the house show, right?
Yeah.
But I think he's got to get something. And I don't know if Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is really where he belongs, right? So,
no.
I don't know, man.
You would think that if anyone's going to go there, it's Joe. But now let me ask you this. Because when we saw Seth Rollins out there, they were very deliberate in their phrasing of not we're going to have a match,
yeah,
but you won't show up to WrestleMania and beat me up in WrestleMania. Sure. So is there maybe room for a Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn tag match with, I mean, if I guess it depends on how worried they are about Seth Rollins'
about
health.
Seth Rollins' knee, yeah. Well, they did. I mean, they did a whole package on you know, how hard he's working and, you know, what it's like for him right now and, you know, him doing all his rehab to come back. So definitely like they're keeping him in our thoughts.
Yeah.
So I got to feel that he's going to be there in some capacity. I guess the question is, right, can he do a solo match, right? Does he have the ability to actually go for whatever, 15 minutes or whatever they might do?
Well, and then here's the other question is, what story do you want to tell coming out of this? Because I don't know if they've built up enough of a head of steam to really make us feel really happy that Triple H loses, which is what we want. Right? Like
sure.
That's the whole reason why we're doing this, is so somebody can put it right in the face of Triple H. But meanwhile, on the other end, you know, we're going to be in the Citrus Bowl if this match ends with the official uniting of the fat guy faction of Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, and Triple H. Triple H can put on a few LBs to just fit in a little bit.
He's, you know, capable. He just stops for a moment, and he immediately becomes like fat Triple H. So
I think that that's going to get more of an excited cheer from the crowd than if Seth Rollins beats him, right?
So do you think then that they're waiting to present these guys as a stable until WrestleMania? Is that what you're saying?
I would suspect,
because we got 3 weeks left here, or whatever, 4 weeks left of Raw, right? And I would think that they would kind of start putting them together during that time, but maybe not. I don't know.
So here's what I think that they are going to run the same playbook that they did when they rebuilt DX after Shawn Michaels left.
Sure.
And so if you remember, the New Age Outlaws were kind of, you know, they would interfere in DX matches and stuff. So there was like some kind of alliance.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they weren't officially members of DX, right?
Sure.
So
yeah, it was like, why is Mr. Ass here?
Exactly. Yeah. So Stone Cold beats Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels leaves the company. Triple H comes out and, you know, you dropped the ball, Shawn, but I'm going to pick it up. And so that officially, X-Pac comes out, cuts his little promo on Eric Bischoff. And then at the end of the night, it was official that they, you know, that the New Age Outlaws were going to be part of it. So what I'm going to call my shot as is that there will be interference in either whatever match Samoa Joe's in, whatever this Triple H Seth Rollins match is, or in the Kevin Owens Chris Jericho match, that then on Monday leads to the official coronation of whatever they're going to call Fat Guy Evolution.
Sure, I could see that. I could definitely see that. Because it also, I mean, right now, the only real affiliation, there's loose affiliation because Triple H, you know, essentially awarded the Universal Championship to Kevin Owens, and that was months ago at this point, right? I mean, that was damn near a year ago, right?
Yes, yeah.
And now, obviously, Samoa Joe professing his loyalty to Triple H. But outside of that, all we've seen of Triple H is like this promo he cut on Seth Rollins. Like, he hasn't really come out and said anything about Kevin Owens or Samoa Joe himself, right?
Well, I mean, he talked to Kevin Owens right before the Festival of Friendship.
True. Yes, that is true. Yeah. But that was like kind of cryptic, and there wasn't like, you know, they're definitely like playing it a little bit subtle right now. So you're aware of their affiliation. But then, yeah, at a house show, then they're all together, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of like making sure it all works, right? And the vibe is right and everything like that. But, yeah, I think, you know, I definitely think that could be what you're talking about, could be a route they go, where then you have like these awesome WrestleMania moments where, you know, the guys come out, do the stuff, and you're wondering what the hell's going on, and it shocks you. And you know.
I mean, if you're going to do it at WrestleMania, you got to do it. You got to do it during the Seth Rollins match. Right? Because
Cinder Flame in chat, they should just call them the loose affiliation.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
We just kind of know each other. We're in a very active group chat.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess like the whole injury with Seth Rollins just kind of takes to me the foot off the gas of how much we want this to be the end of their relationship. I would rather see Seth Rollins. I mean, oh, wait a minute. Are we ignoring the total obvious here? why would you set up a three-man group to start picking on Seth Rollins?
Oh, yeah. Shield reunion.
I mean, we got another draft coming up.
Yeah.
They're going to reshuffle the deck.
Yeah.
They could put all three of those guys on the same card. Really, the only thing that makes that unlikely is that it by all indications, it seems like we're going to get actual heel Roman Reigns.
We're going to heel Reigns, apparently. Yeah. So I don't. Well, but see, they might not do it because WWE has proved that they're not necessarily willing to pull the trigger on true heel Reigns. They also might think, okay, but there's no way that he's not the heel, at least live. At least, like,
he's going to get booed out of the building.
Yeah, absolutely.
But whether they can dial up his character. And I mean, there's ways that he can be a heel that don't involve him, like, you know, pissing in Paul Bearer's urn, like, you know, like sure. CM Punk had to do, right? Like, sure. You know, he can just be like, hey, you're old, you're broken. Like, look at you at the Royal Rumble. You were garbage. Like, I was easy to dump you out.
The promo that they did together it was the end of Raw, right? So, I mean, this, like, they didn't even have, like, a big match. It was literally just them staring at each other. And, I mean, the crowd was lit, you know, for it, obviously. And then he says, you know, this is my yard now. And boo.
Yeah.
I don't like that it's your yard now. I mean, he doesn't have to do much, honestly. A lot of stare downs, and he'll be the heel. So if that's as far as they go,
then he can reunite and everyone.
Exactly.
Will be,
it doesn't take
everyone
much
be happy
for him to then be back on board. Because, I mean, look, if Rollins can rejoin with him for whatever reason, I don't even know what, like, just that he got shafted and then was like, all right, we're cool now.
Yeah.
Then anything is wrestling, right? It's wrestling. Anything can happen. It's fine.
All right. Well, here, give me your read on this. This is something else that stirred up the internet over the weekend. Again, we are on the house show beat here on the road to WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, kind of a dream matchup for many fans, was pitted against the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar, at Madison Square Garden. Unfortunately, for those of us that were very excited to see this match, this was a fairly prototypical Brock Lesnar house show match where it's 19 suplexes and then an F5, 1, 2, 3. Kevin Owens gets zero offense in.
Yeah.
Willie, do you give this one a
red light
or do you give it a
green light?
Oh, man. I mean, look, I get it. I understand. But I'm sad about Kevin Owens getting squashed. I'm sad, man. Kevin Owens is like the only wrestling shirt that I like wear on a consistent basis. And I don't know. It's fine. It's fine though. I bet he's marking out a little bit, taking spears and jackhammers and F5s and stuff. You know.
Well, so, I mean, you know, it's a house show.
Yeah, it's like that. The thing is, though, it is a house show, so they don't really need to. Because I think we're going to see them set Brock back up as a monster, right? Because they have to have him have this new attitude for Goldberg. They didn't need to do that at a house show. But I don't know. It was probably just because of what Brock wanted to do and what, you know, Kevin Owens was willing to do. He was like, I'll take a bunch of.
Well, something tells me that Brock doesn't like doing a lot of stuff that he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
And who does?
No, I mean,
the word
was the Sami Zayn street fight was supposed to be this whole thing.
The Dean Ambrose. Yeah.
Dean Ambrose. Yeah. It was supposed to be a whole thing. And he was like, nah, no, I don't want to do all that.
Yeah. How about I just suplex you a bunch of times and then pin you?
How about that? Yeah. How about that? You'll put a bunch of chairs in the ring.
Exactly.
But then
Dean Ambrose is like, hey, man. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So you hit me with the barbed wire and then I'll drive a truck into you and then you take off the fender and wrap it around my head. All right, man. And he's like, Yes, and there's no bad ideas in a brainstorm, but yes, and what do you say? I just suplex you 14 times and we're done in 8 minutes. How about that?
Said it in a much more high-pitched, weird voice, but yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Brock Lesnar weird high-pitched voice. His ear looks funky right now, dude. Has he been doing something else? Like, he's always had the UFC ears, but I don't know if you caught it during the last promo where he came out with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And F5 Goldberg. But, man, that right ear looks bad. Oh.
So, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm excited for it. Obviously, listen, they're building up Brock versus Goldberg as the main event of all main events at, you know, the biggest show of them all. So that's what this is. It's fine. But
yeah, it's totally fine. Look, Kevin Owens is untouchable as far as like how much people like him or will like to hate him or whatever right now. Like, he's just so entertaining. You could do what you want with him. He's going to be here for a long time. We need to set up Goldberg and Lesnar to be the biggest thing ever. Do that. Go ahead. Because I want it to be. If this is what we're going to get, then I want it to be properly set up. I want the crowd popping for like 15 straight minutes.
Yeah.
To entrances and stare downs.
Here's,
you know what I mean?
Here's what I want. And this was what I want the most out of what that little house show match was between Kevin Owens and Brock Lesnar. Doesn't matter to me what happened in the ring.
Sure.
What matters to me is I hope that Brock Lesnar gets along with Kevin. I hope Kevin Owens was very polite. I hope he was like offering him tips on Canadian taxes or whatever. Like, I hope that there's just a good rapport between the two of them, because I don't care about that match because I wasn't there. I don't really care. I watched grainy cell phone footage of it. I don't think it means all that much. I do care later on, a year from now,
sure,
when Kevin Owens is a face because his fat guy evolution stable has broken up, and now he's going after the title and Brock Lesnar still has it. That's what I hope. I just hope that they get along well enough that Brock Lesnar wants to work with him going forward. Because that
him go over. I mean, like, I think that if you can build Owens as a, like, he is one of the only guys I think you can build as a guy who could legitimately like beat Brock Lesnar. Like, out of all the guys on the roster.
That isn't massive. That isn't like Goldberg
size. Like, it's tough to
size.
Find the guys to go up against him, right? That's why it's always had to be like John Cena and The Undertaker and Goldberg and like who actually makes sense as somebody that's going to beat Brock Lesnar, because they just, you know, he's the beast incarnate, right?
Well, so, and also like physically, anybody that isn't his height standing next to him looks like Enzo Amore. Like, it might as well be, right? Like, the difference between Sami Zayn and Enzo Amore standing next to Brock Lesnar is not really all that much at all, right?
Yeah.
They're tiny little people.
I love the idea, though, that a fat guy is, like, physically capable in the WWE.
Oh, totally.
Like, because he's not, like, the huge fat guy that we were used to forever, right? Like, you know, we used to have, like, the fat guy was, like, a, you know, like a big boss man or whatever. Like, this is, like, kind of massive, whatever. He's kind of like regular sized fat guy, you know,
just
a big belly.
It's just always, just a gigantic person that would just wreck shit at a bar. You know, like that's usually the prototypical fat guy. Or you're just orca fat, like Yokozuna.
But this is like a guy that I work with who's just kind of got like,
just got a belly, baby. That's
it. He's got a belly and like a kind of unkempt looking beard, and he's kind of a dick, and, you know, but he's funny. And apparently he can do like every move in the book. Which is fucking nuts.
All right. So, anything else on Raw or SmackDown that tickled your fancy that you wanna bring up here? A great episode of SmackDown, fantastic main event.
The main event of SmackDown was the best main event of SmackDown, and they've had some really good ones in a while. I mean, that was really enjoyable.
I mean, nobody does their best with their sword and shield like this podcast to knock down the totally over the top, like, whinging internet commentariat. However, that could have been a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, dude.
Right?
That could have been main event of WrestleMania. Yeah. They treated it as such. I mean, they gave it time. There was a lot of awesome spots. There was a lot of kind of teases towards this way and that way as far as the finish goes. And then, of course, like, there's a lot on the line, right?
Yeah.
So it was, I basically, because I didn't watch SmackDown Live, I watched it later on demand. I basically fast-forwarded directly to that match and skipped everything else and then went back to watch the rest of it because I was like, I can't even wait the whatever hour and a half before this match starts. So, it was, and it delivered. It was incredible. Congratulations, Randy Orton. You are going to the main event of WrestleMania, by the way. It's like, I love that the brand split now. They're both going for the main event of WrestleMania.
But that's been Vince's thing forever. We have seven main events. Yeah, every match is the main event.
I really liked the women's thing on Raw, and I really liked Triple H's promo. I thought this was like smarky Triple H. I don't know if you caught some of the stuff he did where he said, you know, they're showing Seth Rollins do all this stuff to his knee.
Yeah.
And he comes on, he's like, the doctors we have are the best in the world and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, do you know who that is? They're in Chicago too, right?
Sit down,
Marks.
Yeah, that's of course. For those of you who
there was like nine CM Punk chants.
Those of you who don't follow at home, CM Punk currently embroiled in a lawsuit between a WWE doctor for defamation of character after he talked mad jive on the Colt Cabana podcast.
And CM Punk called himself the best in the world, so it was like literally just talking directly to him. It was a jab right at him. But one other thing though, real quick, how are you feeling about the New Day right now? Like, I don't know about this. Like, I like them as the WrestleMania hosts because we can get a lot of like fun New Day bits, but I'm not sold on the ice cream thing right now.
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
I'm trying.
Okay. So here's what they're doing.
I'm trying
last
to work
year.
Sell me on the ice cream, bicycle.
Here's what's happening. Here's the good and the bad. The good is they realized that the New Day are very popular last year. And when they had this idea to do Bootio's cereal and make it a physical cereal.
And it worked.
And sell the cereal.
Giant Bootio's box. Yeah.
It was good. And if you look at the timing, it's almost down to the day how they did the Bootio's thing. Like it was at the Roadblock pay-per-view that they unveiled the first box of Bootio's cereal. And so now they're doing the exact same thing, but with ice cream, because they know that everyone's going to, that it'll always get a cheer when the New Day yells, who wants ice cream, right?
Yeah. It's New Day Pops, by the way.
Here's the problem, is that they are doing the same thing that they did with Bray Wyatt, which is, you guys can carry a segment by yourself. So do it for 4 months.
Yeah.
And that's... The issue is that they're not feuding with anybody. They're on the periphery of the title picture, but they're obviously not going to go for it.
Aren't they
going to
feud with the Shining Stars?
elevate the Shining Stars. That's my thing. Is like, we know that the Shining Stars aren't going to be a big gigantic part of the show, but they're capable enough and they're good enough on the mic that you could have them be a nuisance for the New Day.
They're a great little foil because, they could be like, you know, the ice cream in Puerto Rico is better than you know.
Exactly, yeah. No, they can make jumping up and down screaming about how great flan is, although that's Mexican and that's a racist thing. But, I mean, let's not put it past the WWE. So I think that that's where they could go. But you know, ultimately there's always... Raw specifically is a very myopic show. It is focused on two or three feuds at most, and that's when it's functioning at a very high level. Right?
That's like 100% efficiency.
That's
100% right?
efficiency is we're focusing on three feuds instead of just the title feud, right?
Yeah.
And everything else.
You're definitely right. It's funny though. It's funny to me because it's absolutely correct. But this is like the pattern that I wanted WWE to like notice wasn't working as well, which was like have them do the same promo over and over again.
Yeah.
And what worked so well for New Day was when they like unleashed them, right? Just unleashed them onto the world and said, what do you guys have? And when, you know, Xavier Woods is like reading Reddit and pulling the latest and freshest, hottest memes.
Yeah.
And they're running with that. And they did. And now I will say this, though. There's a couple of moments in there within these promos that are still giving us this, right? So, like, Big E weirdly being, like, drunk on ice cream
yeah.
the week before, and yeah. he's, like, touching Kofi Kingston's face, you know, and he's like, just making out with the ice cream cart. And then this week, it was we could host a bris.
Yeah.
We could host the quinceañera.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, well, all that kind of stuff is like, it's part, it's them inserting themselves into then what I feel like is creative going, well, you know, that Bootios thing worked real well. This year, we're going to give you ice cream.
This year, it's going to be ice cream. But here's my point with them. If you're not going to make them physically involved in a feud,
yeah.
then let them go further outside the realm of wrestler. Let them take over commentary for an hour.
Sure.
Let them book, you know, say that, all right, well, because you guys are the hosts, you are going to be effectively the commissioner of the tag team division. So you are sure. going to book the tag team matches. Something
I
like
love
that.
It. Yeah.
Like,
get them even more involved. Because remember that one year it was like Hulk Hogan was the host of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He came out and he said Silverdome instead of Superdome.
Exactly.
And that was basically it. That was it. And then he left and he never came back, right? And it was like, what's
brother,
the point?
I just goofed on the stadium name, brother. This is going to be the worst thing that happens to me this year. I'll bet you.
Yeah, exactly. Can't get any lower than this, brother.
Can't get any lower than this one, brother.
But like, I want them to be involved in a lot of stuff, like, and be themselves and be like what it is. Because I, the other day in a thread about them, somebody linked this video where it's just them backstage, and it's, and I clicked on it and I was like, it's 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? This was a WWE, I mean, on the official YouTube channel, basically 30 minutes of them. They start doing an interview, they steal the mic, kick the interview girl out,
yeah.
and then for 30 minutes just proceed to
just
do
new
whatever.
Day it up.
Right? and it was just, it was hilarious. Like, it was, all of it was gold. It was awesome. And it was basically them just hamming it up for a half an hour.
And that's the thing, is like, to me, you don't have to, right? But it would be better if they went one of two ways. Either totally take them out of action and say, and make it a thing, like Stephanie McMahon comes in and is like, you guys yeah. are the host, we can't afford to get you guys injured, so we are going to officially deactivate you, but we're going to give you these other jobs, right?
Sure.
Like, or like, make the shining stars the pestery problem children that are like constantly trying to sabotage the New Day, and now, you know, that gives the New Day something physical to do at
yeah.
WrestleMania. It gives them the foils, and now the drama, the inherent drama, is will the Shining Stars ruin WrestleMania for the New Day? And at least there's some tension, because right now the New Day is going to host WrestleMania. They're going to be funny. We know that. They're going to launch the pops. Hopefully everybody in attendance gets a free pop, and that'll be it, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, I think that's a great idea, because if you have the Shining Stars like plotting the entire show on how they can, you know, ruin everything for the New Day, like, then you have a moment where, you know, the New Day catches them doing something. Because I got to say, around the ice cream stuff, the funniest stuff that happened was the whole stuff with Lana and Rusev, right? Where she
yeah.
had stolen the iPad with the recipe for the ice cream.
The Russian hacking. And
yeah, the Russian. Yeah, well, they are Russian. And then, of course, you know, trombone behind her. She gets scared and throws it in the air, and Xavier gets it back. Like, all that stuff was hilarious. It was working really well. And then the cart comes out, and there's no more foil, and the Shining Star is Puerto Rico. And it just, I don't know. It all started to fall flat.
I mean, I would love for
where
Rusev
to go, which is good.
Rusev
so.
In a comedy angle with the New Day, trying to ruin WrestleMania for the New Day, to me, is that's the best possible use of both of them.
It's great, yeah. But apparently, Rusev is hurt. So,
oh, is he?
Yeah, some sort of like a torn bicep or something like that. They kind of teased at it, and that was apparently why the Big Show match was more of a squash than anything else at Fastlane. So,
oh well. Well, I'll
poor
tell you
Rusev.
What.
Yeah.
How about we
poor
do this?
Jinder, you know, he finally got all ripped, and then
hard body down. Mahal. Turns out Jinder can indeed be pretty effing hindered when it comes to any momentum.
You can
in this
hinder
company.
The Jinder.
All right. Well, let's do a fun little thing. We're gonna dig up a rumored WrestleMania card from November, and we're gonna compare it to what we have now.
These were some of the matches that people were thinking were likely to happen.
Yes.
And this is, of course, yeah, like you said, November. So we're talking, you know, 5 months, essentially.
Well, and just, and this is rumored, right? And we don't know, but like the popular understanding is that at, like, right now, the brass inside WWE knows what they want next year's WrestleMania to be. They know matches that they want for next year's WrestleMania, and they're going to start positioning people to get there. Now, between here and there are a million shows and a million injuries and a million different crowd reactions that they're
and
going
people,
to.
Yeah, people getting over and people not getting over. And like, and at this point in this year's WrestleMania, there's still some stuff up in the air. I mean, even now. So, you know, we still don't know what's happening with Ambrose and the Intercontinental Championship. We still don't know really what the SmackDown Live women's situation is yet, or both tag team titles, right? Like, we don't know any of that stuff yet. So, and yet, we've already got, like, a fairly stocked show now. Now, this is, of course, 5 months ago. These were what we thought we were going to get stocked with, right?
And
this
these,
is what
and
we thought
are
we were
always,
gonna see.
These are always the big matches. These are always the big name matches that you know, there are, you know, they want to lure people back. These are the part-timers matched with people that are going currently. So, Dills, what's the first rumored match?
So apparently, so this was what everybody thought was going to happen with Undertaker. And by the way, Undertaker was rumored to be in a match with like four different people. I mean, he was all over the map. So first one was Cena, John Cena, Undertaker.
Now this is something that John Cena even referenced, and specifically to get his Miz and Maurice feud off the ground. He made mention that as Miz wants to talk over and over and over again about how John Cena is the insider, John Cena rubs elbows with the brass, John Cena is the one guy that can just at the snap of his finger make sure that whatever he wants is what happens. John Cena's answer to that is, hell, if I could really do that, don't you think I'd be wrestling The Undertaker? Which is just a great way to kind of you know, just light up that smarky element of you know, everybody's brains, but also is kind of true because by the rumors, this was supposed to happen. Cena Undertaker was supposed to happen, and what got in the way was that Vince McMahon or the powers that be thought that it didn't do enough for the future, that this is a WrestleMania that is designed to cement the generation of stars going forward so that now they might need to rely a little bit less on the part-timers, especially considering, you know, Cena's not going to be around a lot after WrestleMania.
No.
Undertaker, obviously, is any match is his last match. So it's a big question mark. But that being said, this would have been a blockbuster match. This would have been great. Event,
yeah.
Right?
So, you know, it's a little disappointing that this isn't the match we actually got. But okay, so John Cena is how old? Hold on. John Cena is not even 40.
John Cena, host of the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards last
night.
That's
right.
And apparently will be out of action filming Daddy's Home 2.
I can't wait for that. I guess he's going to have a larger role this time. Was he in the first one?
Spoiler.
Or is he going to be the new daddy now?
Spoiler alert for Daddy's Home 1. You find out that, the actual biological father.
Oh, that's right. He was the other. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's like a last second cameo where the mom reveals that it is indeed not Mark Wahlberg's son, but rather John Cena's.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Spoiler alert's over. So, yeah, sorry for spoiling.
Largely forgettable movie, but I did find some of it funny. So, yeah, he's only 39. So, Cena will be doing at least, you know, part-time WWE for like another 10 years, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. John Cena will be at WrestleManias until we're all dead.
Like, John Cena will be 60 and look better than most
people
look when
they're
30.
John Cena will be involved in a headlining WrestleMania with Shane McMahon's son in 15 years.
Sure. So yeah, like, you know, he's not going anywhere, but I think the point here is that Undertaker doesn't have much left. Right. And so the rub that you get from an Undertaker match can be huge. And now they, people talk about the rub that Undertaker gives you, but what was it? 3 years, 2 years ago was Bray, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't do much for Bray at the moment.
Well, and it was also hard because that was the first WrestleMania after the streak got broken. So
that was after the Brock Lesnar match. Yeah, exactly.
Either you're making Undertaker just a punchline or to put over Bray or, you know, like, yeah. So I can understand where that one was a little bit difficult.
Exactly. But I think they haven't really used Undertaker as this give a rub guy since really the streak, which, you know, the streak being broken. But, you know, it was like CM Punk, then it was Brock Lesnar, then it was Bray Wyatt, and then Shane McMahon. Like, none of these guys, like, needed rubs, really, right? Like, none of these guys needed to really get over through this match. But I think what they, you know, it's got to be that Vince McMahon was just saying, how in the world do we get Roman Reigns to work, right? Like, why is this not working? We're doing everything right, right? Like, a lot of people have come before Reigns and gotten bigger pushes faster than he did. And for some reason, the crowd is just resistant.
Well, and
just
also
so
it's
resistant,
like,
to it.
You know, here's what, if you look at this card, every match has something that will pay off next year. Even the main event, for all that anybody wants to talk about it being two part-timers fighting, this is the last year of Brock Lesnar's contract. So if they are going to pop that balloon that they've filled with all the Undertaker heat and all that and keeping him unpinned for as long as they have.
Sure.
This is the year to do it. They only have one because maybe he resigns, maybe he doesn't, but they don't want to leave that to chance where he can just walk away on them.
What does he do if he walks away, though?
Oh, I don't know.
He doesn't do movies. He's probably set for life at this point anyway.
Oh, I mean, he lives like, you know, on a ranch in the Arctic Circle, like throwing polar bears over his head. Who knows?
Okay.
But speaking of Brock,
he just bangs Sable is what he does, right?
Well, I mean, geez, you know, they just they have their own little litter of kids and mm-hmm. he awkwardly poses for photos at Winnipeg Jet games. Like, that's pretty much it.
All right. It's because, like, there's so many other guys, like, they talk about them leaving and they have other stuff to do. And I know he had talked about doing UFC, but there's not much more left for him in UFC, I think, probably at this point.
Well, he's officially retired.
Oh, really? Oh, they said that's never going to happen again? I don't keep up with UFC.
Well,
so.
He retired because if you retire, you are no longer on the hook for USADA testing.
Okay.
So you can't get popped for.
But that doesn't necessarily
that.
Mean he can't come on for like a one-off, does it?
Yeah. Right now it does. He would have to then redo his.
I see. It's like a whole official sports league.
Yeah. No, it's something like that. Sure.
The only thing that I ever know about UFC is my girlfriend has a cousin who wrestles or fights in
who
UFC.
Fights. Oh wait,
Joe Soto. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
And he actually just had, like, some crazy, like, bloody match where he got elbowed in the head or headbutted or something and was, like, gushing blood but still won. And so everyone's, like, freaking out.
Nice. So star on the rise.
Yeah, exactly. I guess.
Maybe we should take a look.
He's, like, 130 pounds. Like, you hear about these guys and you see him on TV and you're like, that guy is ripped. And then you realize, like, he's like 5'5", 130 pounds. Like, he's like this tiny little man. But, yeah, that's all I know. Like, when it comes to UFC, I'm like, yeah, all right, sure. I believe you.
Well, speaking of bleeding profusely from the head, the man that did that to Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, he was rumored to be in a match with Shane McMahon around SummerSlam time. If you remember.
That's right.
After that big bloody affair, it was Shane McMahon talking trash to Brock Lesnar and not Randy Orton.
By the way, one other weird thing about this is that people in our chat, like not just last week, were saying, isn't Undertaker SmackDown? Isn't Brock SmackDown? It's like those two guys are not Raw or SmackDown. Like, they are whatever they need to be at any given moment.
Well, so, yeah. And I think when they were planning on doing John Cena versus Undertaker, he came out and talked about how much SmackDown meant to him. And when
when
they wanted him to fight Roman Reigns, all of a sudden he made sure that everybody knew that he went where he wanted and he fought who he wanted, and that's it. But I kind of assumed
that they
Rock.
Were whatever they wanted anyway. I mean, it you know, like Goldberg, I don't think is he's a Raw guy. Like we're gonna see you know Survivor Series Goldberg on Team Raw match. Like it's you know, this is not really like what the part timers don't need to worry about that stuff.
I'm glad we're not getting Shane Brock.
Me too, actually. I'm really glad about this because this would be a match where it would just be Shane Undertaker kind of 2.0 where it's just get beat up, not give up.
Do
jump
one
off something
crazy
high.
Thing where you jump out of a F-16 fighter jet and you know, like elbow drop.
The curious thing about a Shane Brock match though is how in the world do you ever set up a spot where Brock Lesnar is like out for a good amount of time to allow Shane to climb up something really high? Like it seems too difficult to realistically set up where like he just does his little punches and somehow finds a way to hurt Brock. He'd have to like fall off of something or run into him and hit the post or something like that would have to happen. But I think with AJ, which is what we are going to get, which is Shane and AJ, there's going to be much more believable offense from Shane.
Well, because AJ can sell it, right? I mean, I understand everybody wants AJ Styles to have the 5-star match at WrestleMania. Like, we're all that Kvetching comes from.
People.
Yeah, they want AJ Shinsuke to go 5 stars for 30 minutes and be just the greatest thing in WrestleMania history.
Got to give that a year of buildup. Like, I mean,
yeah,
Shinsuke can't just come out of NXT tomorrow and. Or tonight, or whatever. Yeah, no, tomorrow, and then have 3 weeks, and then
boom.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Well, let's talk about one AJ Styles match that I think everybody would be very excited for, and that is the rumored Shawn Michaels AJ Styles match. This was rumored not only for Royal Rumble but also for WrestleMania.
Yeah,
you know, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, Shawn. Now he's at the NXT Center. Now he's kind of back plugged in. To everything, maybe they can coax out one more match for somebody that he would deem worthy. But Shawn Michaels in interviews has said, you want to know who I would want to fight more than AJ? Braun. Like he wants somebody or Samoa Joe that would be a different style than him, as opposed to just, you know, you want to see AJ Styles fight Shawn Michaels because AJ Styles reminds you of Shawn Michaels, right?
Well, but let's be honest. Yeah. I think that would be the big reason is that a lot of people think of AJ as like the new Shawn Michaels, like the best guy in the ring. You know, just like looks great, sells great. Everything he does looks amazing. But let's be honest, some of the best matches Shawn Michaels ever put on were Shawn Michaels Undertaker, right? Like Shawn Michaels working with big guys was actually always quite a treat. He was really one of the best at putting those matches on as a smaller guy.
Yeah.
So I could totally see that as being like the type of match he could come back for. Rather than like, him, AJ or him, Sami Zayn or, you know, all that kind of stuff, which I think a lot of people just want to watch. But do you want to watch Shawn Michaels try to chain wrestle at, you know, 40, whatever, and not be that great at it?
I agree. That's where I'm like, man, when everybody says Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles, all we can think about is what the best possible version of that would be. And I just don't know if that exists. I just think it's always one of those things that are better off in your memory than it is in the middle of the ring. And I would rather, well, let me ask you this. But one last thought on this. What would you rather have? A AJ Styles Shawn Michaels match that underperforms your expectations, or an AJ Styles Shane McMahon match that overperforms your expectations?
You know, always anything that overperforms, always.
Because both of those are the most likely options. Like if you were betting, it's likely that AJ Styles, Shawn Michaels underperforms, and it's probably likely, considering how hard both those guys work, that Shane and AJ overperforms, that it's going to be a fun, enjoyable, weapons-filled, spot-crazy match where they're both going to do some insane, like, nutty stuff, right?
And I think at this point, too, it actually makes sense as a match. So, like, there's actually, like, emotional stuff going on here. I mean, AJ getting, essentially earning his way into the main event, you know, multiple times, and feeling like Shane is holding him back and giving these opportunities out that he shouldn't, means that I'm going to be like, even as the heel, AJ is like almost like beating the odds to me in a way, like where he will, you know, it's a cool match in a lot of ways because of that. And you're right. It'll be better than I think a lot of people expect. Where at the end of the match, people are going to be like, holy, like it could
wow,
be.
Wow, that was a really match fun match. Night, that was right? Great. Yeah. Yeah. I did love my favorite wrestling moment of the week is in that backstage gorilla position yell fest that Shane McMahon and AJ Styles had. The rushing in to calm everything down is, you know, if Barney was dressed as a Southern preacher in his silk purple shirt, Michael P.S. Hayes, just charging in. Like, oh, God, always the best. And also the Road Dog. The Road Dog just, hey, man, come on. Hey, come on.
That's what they do. They're just back there ready, you know? You never know. The fight's got, it's going to break out. Imagine your workplace when you have a dispute with a coworker. Every now and then you might just get into fisticuffs. And then if you do, your boss may reward you.
Yeah. You might get that promotion.
Quite
one final thing,
you know, you beat up, you know, Debbie in accounting, and then all of a sudden here comes William Regal. He's like, ah, Debbie, I'm making a match.
And now I'm making a match.
Today at lunchtime, Debbie versus Justin Robert Young.
Yes. All right. One last one. Rock Brock. I mean, this is
Rock,
something that's
Brock.
Been, that's
okay,
been
well,
mentioned
first
forever.
Of all,
can I just say this?
Say whatever you want, my friend.
I'm more excited for Brock Goldberg than I ever would be for Rock Brock.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just because, like,
I think that The Rock could probably still go if he wanted to.
I think he could go, but I just don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means.
He's not building his body to wrestle anymore, right?
No.
He's building his body to look amazing on camera, and that's it, right? So it's a different, I'm sure his whole regimen is just completely different than it used to be. It's now, you know, he's cultivating mass, right? And not necessarily like the lean, mean, athletic machine that he once was, and that's fine. And I don't want to see him come out there and be, like, to be honest, like watching him be a shell of himself is even scarier to me than like someone like The Undertaker.
Yeah.
I don't need like a lot of Rock matches. He's fine to just come out and do his like I like the thing where they come out and they do a promo with like him and Hogan and Stone Cold and stuff. Like that stuff is fun.
Get that nostalgia wank in and then we can all go home. I agree.
Fine. Like he could do one Rock Bottom or something. Like it was fun when he like stripped down and he had his wrestling gear underneath. And he did one Rock Bottom, and then it was like, oh, my, and the crowd popped. Like, that stuff is great, you know? Getting a people's elbow here and there, sure. But you remember, like, Once in a Lifetime Part 2, he, like, completely, like, tore, like, every muscle in his body.
Exactly.
On the way out of
yeah.
that match. He was, like, pretending like he could still walk. That's not good. We don't need to see
we
that.
We don't
it's
need
fine.
That. We don't need that. And Brock,
no.
for all the great that Brock brings, doesn't exactly seem super invested in making things special.
That's not the match. If you were to bring The Rock back, that's not the guy, right? Like, I don't want them to keep putting Brock with, like, forever and ever, it's Brock against the guy Brock never fought or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, because, again, like you said, we want it to be the best version of it that we could imagine. And it will never be that.
No.
Because that's just how time works. Because
it doesn't exist, right?
Exactly. You know? If you want that, you know, get your WWE 2K17 game out, set up your dream match, and have it. But you will not get it IRL, I'm afraid. So.
All right. Well, yeah. That is a visit through the leaked WrestleMania card time capsule. Let's get to what has become the most popular element of this podcast. It is our Melodica Challenge. This was last week's.
I mean, it's clearly Kurt Angle, but you say we already had Kurt Angle.
I thought we'd already had Kurt Angle. I spoke to the man himself, Trey Warren, the Melodica Master. He confirmed that we had not had Kurt Angle. That indeed was Kurt Angle.
Okay.
So there we go. Everybody nailed it right there. We got so many responses to this one.
That one was really good. That one, I got to say, like, because one of the problems I had with the other ones was rhythmically, I wasn't hearing the cues that I was looking for. And that might be on me because I play bass, which is essentially part of the rhythm section, which is I pay a lot of attention to percussion and whatnot. Yeah. And I'm not listening to the tones and the melodies as much. So some of them were a little tough for me, but this one was instantly that that offbeat first hit for the bass line. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is this week's Melodica Challenge. Oh my God.
All right, give it to me one more time.
I think I might have it.
I'm close. I think I'm there. But
you want to do one more time?
I'm gonna put on some themes and confirm. I think I've got something too.
One more time. Here we go.
The thing is, it ends before the next little bit, and the next little bit would confirm. Like if it continued for like, you know, two more bars, then I'd be like, yeah. But I need to go listen to.
I think I got it. If you think you got it too, go ahead and hit us up on Twitter. That is at Justin R. Young and at Willie Dills. Willie, what you got going on this week?
So the biggest thing right now is a brand new overlay has been created for Dills Hearthstone League matches. So if you are interested in watching Hearthstone live, check out twitch.tv/WillieDills. I've already got, I think, 3 matches lined up for this week. Brand new overlay. It looks great. It's much more clear and concise and nice and neat. I've gotten complaints that people trying to watch them on mobile, it was kind of cut a little bit too small, and it was hard to actually see the board and everything like that. So I've made it nice and big. Takes up the whole space now. Should be a lot of fun. So check that out, twitch.tv/WillieDills. I think we've got a match probably, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday I'll be casting matches.
So wait a minute. Dills, you're telling me that you're making a match.
I'm making a match. Yes, exactly. It's between Matt at Arms and Skate Action DJ, two billionaires. So also, by the way, this new overlay has a space for a second commentator. So, Justin, if you want to join me Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, you can tell me whichever evening works best for you.
Thursday might be...
You, my friend, are definitely invited to come join
Thursday
me.
Thursday might be the move. All right. I'll tell you what, just wait and see if my music hits in the Dillionaire Arena. Yeah. It might just go down. Ladies and gentlemen,
that's an idea for a show at some point. We have to create a custom wrestler for ourselves where we like get our theme music, what our wrestling gear looks like.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me at Justin R. Young on everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Until next week, everybody, please go ahead. I'll tell you what, you want to know what? We're actually going to have this is the thing for next week, man. We're going to have a State of the Union on #DillsToMania.
Yeah, we got to figure this out because we're a little short, and we're
getting close.
We got to have a powwow and figure what we're going to do about this.
I mean, listen, we're going to have to find out, Willie, whether or not hashtag Dills to Mania is a
red light
or a
green light.
Like, the thing is, you know, I've already planned out my like my hobo trip to Orlando. I've got my stick and my little handkerchief full of stuff ready
to
go.
It's gonna come down to the wire either way. So everybody go ahead and check it out. If you would like to support the show, then patreon.com/1900wrestling is where you can do it. And in the meantime, this is Justin Robert Young telling you to keep dialing.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and
Oh, and Jack Swagger is released.
Nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.